Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this fifth day of April 2023, the last April before Easter. And I am thrilled to have a returning guest. He was actually just with us on March 31st, was the last time he was with us to discuss his book, Biblical Theology, a Canonical Thematic and Ethical Approach. But today, he is going to be discussing a book that is very timely for this time of year, but is obviously of infinite value any time of year. The Final Days of Jesus. Andreas Kostenberger is a leading evangelical scholar and prolific writer, author, editor, or translator of close to 50 books, including God, Marriage, and Family, A Theology of John's Gospel, Excellence, the commentary on 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus in the Biblical Theology for Christian Proclamation series, and he's also an editor of the Journal of the Evangelical Theological Society, and a visiting fellow at St. Edmund's College in Cambridge, England. He is also the co-founder of Biblical Foundations, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Andreas Kostenberger.
Terrific to be with you again. I really appreciate it.
For the sake of our listeners who have not heard you on the program before, perhaps they missed your March 31st interview, or perhaps they heard you and just don't remember the details behind Biblical Foundations, please share that information with our listeners.
Yes, thank you so very much. Well, my wife and I have been married for 33 years, and we have four grown children, and we've so much enjoyed our journey in our marriage and also as parents. And so Biblical Foundations is primarily seeking to be a resource for couples and for families on how to have a good marriage, how to be good parents. And as you mentioned, the storefront is the biblicalfoundations.org website, where we have just a lot of helpful resources. And we've written several books on marriage and the family as well, including Equipping for Life and Parenting Essentials.
Well, if anybody wants more details on Biblical Foundations, go to biblicalfoundations.org, biblicalfoundations.org. Well, as I said, this book that you have written, The Final Days of Jesus, is obviously very timely. And as we approach Good Friday and commemorate the death of Jesus Christ on Golgotha's cross, who paid the perfect payment and paid the perfect sacrifice for the sins of his people and satisfied the wrath of his Father on that cross through his propitiatory death, and obviously subsequent to that, the glorious resurrection of our Lord and the ascension into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. As we approach these days coming up, there are obviously, you know as well as I do, many books that have been written by great Christian minds throughout the centuries, including even some contemporary authors who have written on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What made you say to yourself, I've got to add something to the volumes that are already available in the final days of Jesus?
Well, I need to give credit to Justin Taylor, who's the publisher of Crossway, who approached me with the idea for this project because he wanted to have an aid for the family and for people in the church, how to follow Jesus along on his journey in this final week of his earthly ministry. And as the subtitle of our book says, it's the most important week of the most important person who ever lived. And so I think that by itself already justifies devoting a book to it. The book essentially reproduces the text of that referred to Jesus' final week in the ESV, English Standard Version translation. And then we provide a brief commentary, day by day.
Now, perhaps you could let us know your thoughts on what Christians, and will include genuine Bible-believing Christians, and also non-believers, or at least perhaps nominal Christians who are not truly regenerate, but what does humanity that is aware of this story, I mean, it's a very a globally known story for two millennia that, you know, even those that bear no resemblance to Christianity, they may be atheists, they may be Orthodox Jews, they may be Muslims, Hindus, or Buddhists. Most people know something about the story. But what is it that you think universally many of us, including genuine Christians, get wrong about this?
That's a great question. When I was working on the book, it was really a devotional experience. What a privilege to work on a book on the final days of Jesus. And what really struck me increasingly is that, you know, we sometimes think of the gospel as more like an abstract story where we affirm certain key doctrines, such as the crucifixion, burial, resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. But tracing Jesus' steps in his final week on earth made me realize this is not just an abstract set of affirmations. This is actually the story of a historical person who was living and breathing and who is dying for us and who rose again and sustained a set of relationships with his close followers and who antagonized the authorities. And so this is the story of all stories, the true story that shows God's Son dying on the cross for our sins. And so I think as C.S. Lewis once said, Christianity is the true myth, the one that is actually real and true and historical and explains everything else, all the other stories.
Now, when it comes to something that people may be getting wrong about this story, do you think that far too often, and perhaps we even as not only Christians, but theologically reformed Christians, sometime when we hear the story, either read from the scriptures, preached from a pulpit, perhaps we are seeing a movie that involves the resurrection, and I know that there's a huge debate, especially amongst Reformed Christians, on whether that's even appropriate, especially if the person of Jesus is depicted in a film by an actor. But sometimes do you think that we forget that there was something far more excruciating and tormenting and horrible and unthinkably painful that Jesus was awaiting, that in actuality, and I'm not saying this to undermine the significance of the physical torture he experienced, but sometimes we just look at this as only the execution of a man and what a man would be going through, through his own emotions, his own fears, and so on. And of course, Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, not to ever undermine or diminish either of those aspects. But isn't the fact that he was awaiting to actually have his Father's wrath poured upon him something that is even more infinitely terrifying than any of those physical things that he experienced, the scourging at the pillar and the all kinds of torment, the mocking, the being nailed to the cross, and so on. There have been martyrs, countless millions of martyrs throughout the centuries who were only men and not God, as well as what we have in the case of Jesus Christ, who was fully God and fully man. But, you know, we have to realize that this execution of Jesus, which he voluntarily participated in at the orchestration of his own Father, even though it was done by the sinful hands of wicked men, this is a unique experience that no one will ever encounter. Even though the fact there have been many martyrs, this is a very unique situation, isn't it?
Yes, Chris, that is so true. You know, we look at the crucifixion naturally from a human point of view, and indeed, Jesus met our needs for salvation, and we can be eternally grateful for that. But especially John's gospel presents Jesus' death and suffering from the vantage point of the Holy Trinity, the relationship that Jesus as the Son had with God the Father. And I think John makes the point that Jesus, first and foremost, died not for humanity, but for the Father, because it was the Father's will for him to give his life for sinful humanity to provide salvation. And so in the end, you have Jesus' so-called high priestly prayer in John 17, which is directed to the Father. And Jesus tells the Father that he has accomplished the mission that the Father has given to him. And so that is just a beautiful picture, I think, like you described it, of the Trinity jointly working together on behalf of humanity's salvation. But it is not just an anthropocentric act. It is a theocentric act. It's a transaction that first and foremost occurs among the persons of the Holy Trinity.
So your book is laid out from the Sunday prior to Easter Sunday, the week before, all the way through that glorious resurrection day. What can you tell us, obviously in summary form, about that Sunday, 1 week before the resurrection of Christ?
Yes, so we follow the traditional biblical progression, starting with Palm Sunday. Of course, we just celebrated Palm Sunday a few days ago. And so we see here Jesus triumphantly entering the city of Jerusalem. He was mounted humbly on a donkey, in keeping with the way Solomon entered Jerusalem, son of David, and also in keeping with prophetic messianic predictions such as Zechariah chapter 9. And the crowds are hailing him as Messiah and deliverer, and they wave palm branches, hence the name Palm Sunday. But one suspects that they did not fully understand that Jesus would have to be crucified and would have to suffer. So there is a certain element of misunderstanding at Palm Sunday. But that triumphal entry is the main event that happens on that first day of the final week of Jesus.
Now, I'm assuming that those who were giving honor to Christ as he was riding that donkey must have had some kind of a familiarity with the Old Testament prophecies that would give that picture that Jesus fulfilled. Otherwise, it would have been a somewhat of a comical picture. I don't mean any, obviously, blasphemy or disrespect to our Lord, but it, you would think that if this was a book, and meaning the scriptures, if it was written by your average novelist, let's say, Jesus would have been riding in on a white stallion or something like that. And here you have him riding in on a donkey with his feet probably nearly dragging on the ground. It is a humorous picture, even though it's a very important and solemn event.
That's very interesting because, of course, in Revelation chapter 19, Jesus is indeed portrayed as the rider on a white horse, where he returns triumphantly. But at his first coming, you're exactly right. He corrects expectations to some extent. And he sends a message, I think, by his manner of entry, that he is not going to be that national hero that some people were expecting. So it all has to do with managing expectations. And for those with eyes to see, they should have recognized that this was not the kind of Messiah that the zealots were expecting, or that others in Jewish life were expecting, who were hoping that the Messiah would overthrow the Romans and would reestablish Israel's political control over their own territory.
So, because of the fact we do have 7 days to go through here, tell us about the significance of the Monday after Palm Sunday.
Yes, that's right. Now, on Monday, we
see... By the way, correction, there's eight days. I said seven.
Right. So on Monday, we see that Jesus engages in a fairly enigmatic action, which is when he was on his way into the city of Jerusalem, and he typically stayed outside the city and in Bethany, entered the city, short walk with his disciples the following morning, he curses a fig tree. And of course, the fig tree symbolized Israel. And Jesus, of course, was very disappointed, shall we say, with Israel for Israel's failure to bear spiritual fruit. And so the curse on the fig tree symbolizes the God's judgment on Israel. And then, continuing on that note of judgment, Jesus enters the temple and cleanses it, the famous cleansing of the temple, which again, in prophetic fashion, acted out God's judgment on Israel. Matthew presents that in his intercalated form. Some people call that a Markan sandwich, where he starts with the cursing of the fig tree, then moves to the cleansing of the temple, and then returns to the story of the fig tree. And so the book ends, the cursing of the fig tree, interpret what's in the heart of that section, which is the cleansing of the temple. So it's all about God's impending judgment on Israel, and especially its corrupt worship at the temple.
Now, there seems to be a disagreement amongst Christian scholars, even even those that would be in agreement with us on many matters of theology, if not most, as to whether or not when Jesus was in the temple, cleansing the temple by chasing out the money changers after he had fashioned a whip, there are some who say there was no way that Jesus actually ever made contact with any of those individuals with that whip, and that he was just frightening them to run out. And others have said that they believe he wouldn't have fashioned the whip unless he intended to use it for the reasons a whip is used. What is your opinion on that?
I'm agnostic on this. I've been asked that question before, and I looked very closely at the synoptic accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and I think it is simply left to inference. And so I understand that different people draw different inferences from that, but it doesn't clearly say whether or not Jesus actually literally struck anybody with that whip. And so it's simply up to our logic, whether or not, you know, how we construe the background to him fashioning that whip and driving out the money changers.
Now, do you think that there's anything in the scriptures about the descriptions of Christ that would negate him going, it would negate us going with the one option that he did actually whip individuals? He obviously couldn't have time to whip every single one of them, but that is there anything that would defy the character of Christ if he indeed did physically hurt people by whipping them?
Well, probably. I would think that whole debate, to my mind, kind of misses the main point why Jesus fashioned in the first place, which is just to corrupt the temple, to basically expel those who are corrupting worship. And so his purpose was not, you know, so much to literally whip anybody, but more, it was a symbolic prophetic signs act. And I think the reality that he sought to convey there was that God's wrath, was, pertained to the corruption of Jewish worship.
Well, we have to go to our first commercial break right now. If you have a question for Andreas Kostenberger, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Dr. Andreas Kostenberger and our discussion of the final days of Jesus.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Romaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Scott Brown here with Church and Family Life. I hope you can join me and Chris Arnzen at my national conference, The Chief End of Man. It's in Ridgecrest, North Carolina, right next to Asheville. At this event, you'll hear Paul Washer, Joel Beakey, Scott Aniol, Josh Bice, and many others really my favorite preachers. We're offering a special discount to listeners of this show. And all you need to do is enter the code IRON during checkout and you'll receive a 50% discount off the registration fee. We're also doing a pre-conference with Paul Washer and Jeff Johnson geared toward singles on May 3rd and 4th. For more information, go to churchandfamilylife.com. Don't forget the code IRON during checkout. I really hope to see you there.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this amazing deal. Anyone in the audience of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio who purchases jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com, whether it is jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, or like turning your church logo, your parachurch logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, into a piece of jewelry, or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up, they will take what is in your brain and turn it into a beautiful, stunning, mind-blowing, breathtaking piece of jewelry. I've seen what they do firsthand, and they are definitely artisans and masters at this craft of jewelry design. So, whatever the case may be, buying a piece of jewelry for $100 or more already in stock or customizing a piece of jewelry, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will be guaranteed 100% of the profits from that sale, as long as you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and as long as it is done before they pull the plug on this offer, and we don't know when that will be. So, if you have any intention to buy yourself or someone you love a piece of jewelry, please, as soon as possible, go to royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com, and mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchase or when making or starting the ball rolling on your customized piece of jewelry. That's royaldiadem.com. Always mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Andreas Kostenberger, who is a co-founder of Biblical Foundations. We are discussing one of his very timely books, The Final Days of Jesus. And our email address, if you care to join us on the air, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you have an opinion or a belief on anything that we are discussing today that is different than what your own congregation is being taught, and you feel uncomfortable identifying yourself, or perhaps you're the pastor yourself, and you have a disagreement with your own elders or your denomination. We understand that those would be reasons to remain anonymous, but if it's just a general question, please give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and your country of residence. And we have a question for you. It's actually a first-time questioner who sent in this question. Joel from right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I'm curious how Dr. Kostenberger explains the 3 days from Jesus' death till resurrection. How we get 3 days and three nights, like Jesus said, of Jonah in Matthew 12:40, from Friday till dawn on Sunday. I am often asked by new Christians and would love to hear how he explains it. That actually came up recently when I interviewed one of those rare advocates of a Thursday crucifixion, Dr. Andreas, I'm sorry, not Dr. Kostenberger, Dr. A.M. Brewster, A.M. Brewster, I'm sorry, biblical counselor A.M. Brewster. And there are even advocates of a Wednesday crucifixion, and perhaps you can correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Kostenberger, but I think that Lorraine Bettner may have held to a Wednesday crucifixion. But that would, a Wednesday crucifixion would allow for three little literal 24-hour days, which the traditional Friday day of the crucifixion does not. But if you could explain that.
Well, I'll try. I get that question quite a bit as well. And, you know, there's multiple reasons why people might ask that question. And I don't know, the person who wrote in, you know, it could be that there's a genuine question, or it could be that, you know, in some cases, detractors of the Christian faith think that here they finally have an error in Scripture, because clearly, literally, Jesus was not in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, right? He was only in the tomb for parts of 3 days and two nights. And so if you press that, you know, some people might, to a literalistic level, there would be an error in Scripture. I don't think so, though, because there's plenty of evidence that for Jewish people, they would use a day and a night as a shorthand for a day. And so, you know, for Jonah to be in the belly of the big fish for 3 days and three nights, essentially he was in the belly of the big fish for 3 days. So how do you get 3 days then for Jesus to be in the tomb for 3 days? Well, by inclusive reckoning, because what Jewish people did in the first century is that even a partial day, they would count as a day or a full day. And so if you count that way, then Jesus was in the tomb for a little bit on Friday, what we call Friday, then on the entire day Saturday, and then for part of a day Sunday. So even though you could say, well, there's only one full day and two partial days, the Jews would still count that as three full days. So that is the best I can do. I think that's completely satisfactory, but I understand that I would probably not convince a hardcore fundamentalist with that answer.
Well, some might equate the literal 6-day creation view, which is my view, the young earth creationist view, they may equate the importance of that with 3 days in the tomb of Christ. So I don't know what your thoughts on the differences between those two scenarios are.
Yeah, I would just say that the big story here is that Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen. Well, thank you, Joel, and you have won a free copy of the very book we are addressing today, The Final Days of Jesus, the most important week of the most important person who ever lived. Since you live right here in Carlisle, might I suggest that you go to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service rather than having them mail it to you? And it's right on Rittner Highway in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And tell them that you are a listener of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and that you won The Final Days of Jesus by Andreas Kostenberger. And as again, for the sake of time, we have to move along if we're going to try to cover each of these 8 days that we already addressed. And if you could move on to the significance of the Tuesday before the resurrection of Christ.
Absolutely. I think one thing that really strikes me, and that is, I think, so admirable, is that in many ways, Jesus did in the final week of his life what he did during his entire ministry, which is he went and taught in the temple. You know, like he would later defend himself, he said he taught publicly. And so his teaching is a matter of public record. And so that's what he did on Tuesday. And he's promptly accosted and, challenged by the authorities who ask him, what makes you think that you can cleanse the temple and drive out the money changers and disrupt the commerce there? And so he says, well, I'm going to answer that question if you answer one of my questions, which is, was the baptism of John from heaven or was it from man? And make the long story short, they refused to answer because he had them either way. And so he says, well, neither will I answer your question. And so for the rest of the day, you see him engage in various interchanges with the Jewish authorities who try to trick him and trap him. And he masterfully parries all their attacks. And clearly, his wisdom is far superior to that of the Jewish authorities.
Okay, now let's move on before the midway break to the significance of the Wednesday prior to the resurrection of Christ.
Yes, and that is a short answer because we hardly have any record of anything happening on Wednesday. It's very intriguing. This is the quiet, the calm before the storm. All we hear is that the authorities continue to plot against Jesus and try to find an inconspicuous way to get rid of him without antagonizing the Roman authorities or causing disruption of the festival. Remember, there were probably hundreds of thousands of pilgrims in the holy city that week. And so they are struggling to decide how to best proceed in their persecution of Jesus. But that's pretty much all that we know that happened on Wednesday.
Now, this plotting, this scheming of the Pharisees and the Sadducees to bring about the execution of Christ, which obviously they could have never done without the orchestration of this event by the Father, by God himself, and through the voluntarily laying down of his life by Jesus Christ himself. But one of the things that is interesting whenever I consider this, I don't know if there's enough information in the scriptures to come to a conclusion with certainty, but it would seem to me that the Pharisees especially, not necessarily the Jews in the crowds crying out for Barabbas to be spared, that were just ordinary men and women. But when you consider the Pharisees and their knowledge of the Hebrew scriptures, calling out for the death of Christ, and even having an increase in their fury against him and their hatred of him when they saw him doing miracles, when he was actually doing things that should have led them to say, this is truly the Son of God. This is truly the Messiah. This is not an ordinary man. And yet they did not do that, and they cried out for his death. Were these people conscious of the fact that, yes, this is the Messiah, but he is intruding into our religion and we want him dead? Or is this just a case of unregenerate people who, even though they know the scriptures well, they just didn't see Jesus in those scriptures?
It's a fascinating question. And, you know, it would take us quite a while to adequately address that question. But I think the most important thing to say here is that I think John's gospel is very clear that ultimately Jesus was crucified on the charge of blasphemy. And so I think the Pharisees were rigid monotheists. They believed there was one and only one God. And Jesus violated their rigid understanding of monotheism by claiming to be God. And so by their simple logic is there could only be one God, and so there could not be a second God. And so they were convinced that Jesus was guilty of blasphemy and therefore had to be stoned or crucified.
Well, let's move in to the next day, the Thursday before the resurrection of Christ.
Yes, of course, that is the day of the famous Last Supper in the upper room where Jesus gathered with his 12 apostles to celebrate the Jewish Passover, and where he also instituted the new covenant in his body and his blood. Of course, John's gospel gives us a priceless treasure in form of the so-called farewell or upper room discourse, where we have five wonderful chapters of Jesus engaging in an act of humble servanthood by washing his disciples' feet, and then by instructing them about the coming of the Holy Spirit and about the implications of his impending crucifixion.
We actually have a listener who is asking about something that you just mentioned. We have Christopher in Western Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who asks, why is it that during the Last Supper we have Jesus Christ washing the feet of his disciples, and yet very, very few denominations today continue that practice when they observe the Lord's Supper?
They understand that Jesus tried to set an example of humble servanthood, which in that culture took on the form of washing feet, because what you had is a custom of ancient hospitality that if somebody had you over for dinner and you arrived walking the dusty roads in your sandals, your feet were dirty. And so they provided typically a household servant with a basin full of water to wash your feet upon entry into the house, so that when you ate dinner and your feet were actually right beside the face of the person next to you, hygiene was properly served. Now, of course, in our case, we typically don't walk to a dinner invitation in our sandals, and so have no need for someone to wash our feet. First Timothy 5, I think it's verse 18, is very helpful here, because there Paul mentions that widows qualified for church support if they have washed the feet of the saints. And quite transparently, he didn't mean literally washed feet, but it is used as a metaphor or as a symbol of serving the needs of others.
Now, perhaps this is more of a pastoral question, but there are millions of Christians that live in areas where the common thing amongst the people living in those areas is to walk with sandals or even barefoot. And if the church were to continue that practice in those areas, would this be out of line, in your opinion? I know this is more of a pastoral question, but I was just curious.
Well, depends on what their hermeneutic is, you know, what their way of interpreting scripture is. If they take it literally, then I think they are certainly welcome to continue it, but their way of interpreting that passage would still be mistaken. But it all depends on what's appropriate in a given culture. So if there's continuity between first century Palestine and that particular culture, then certainly that could still be a meaningful gesture.
Yeah, it actually meant something that made logical sense in Jesus's day, whereas in the West in the 21st century, it would, especially from somebody visiting a church, it would just seem extremely bizarre. It wouldn't be the part of an ordinary act. And obviously, the enhanced addition to that is that you're not having a servant do that. You're humbling yourself by washing the feet of the visitor yourself, as Christ did. Interesting. Well, we have to go to our midway break right now, and I just want to remind our listeners that the midway break, as always, is longer than the other breaks in the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and all of their programming geographically to Lake City, Florida. They do that with their own public service announcements and other local things that they air during the midway break, while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So I'm asking you to please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information provided by our advertisers as you possibly can to further ensure that you will more frequently and successfully contact our advertisers, whether you're buying their products, using their services, supporting their parachurch organizations, or visiting their churches. But when you can't do any of those things, there is something that every single Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener can do if you really love this show. You can contact our advertisers, as many of them as possible, and say thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That is, if indeed you really love the show and are truly grateful that there are people and organizations out there that think so highly of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio that they share with us a portion of the money that God has blessed them with. So please contact our advertisers at the very least to thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And also send in your questions to Dr. Andreas Kostenberger about the final days of Jesus. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages with more of Dr. Andreas Kostenberger and the final days of Jesus.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnes and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnes while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a tie in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, to please make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and also publish for the first time nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my discussion with Dr. Andreas Kostenberger on his book, The Final Days of Jesus, we just have a couple of very important announcements to make. First of all, if you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it is your business, whether it is your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or perhaps it's your church or your parachurch ministry or just a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Please remember, when donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never cut into the money that you have set aside to bless your own church where you are a member on the Lord's Day with your finances. In other words, don't give your own church where you're a member less money than you're accustomed to giving that church in order to give us a gift. Never do that. Also, if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you are back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift financially. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for church and family. Providing for Iron Trip and Zion Radio is not a command, obviously. But if you do love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, and you do have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes. Well, if you love this show, please share some of that money with us if you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves. Go to IronTripAndZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, for all men in ministry leadership, the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastors luncheon is Thursday of next week, the Thursday after Easter, April 13th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is in Perry County, Pennsylvania. My two featured speakers are Dr. William Webster, who is a Banner of Truth author and pastor in Battleground, Washington, and also Reverend David T. King, who is a co-author along with Dr. Webster, and he is a pastor in Katy, Texas. And this is free of charge, so you're fed spiritually, fed physically, all for free. This was the brainchild of my precious late wife back in the 1990s, and I continue conducting these free pastors' luncheon even after she has gone home to glory in the presence of Christ for eternity, and I do so in loving memory of her and in honor and tribute to her. And in addition to those things you're getting for free, you're going to be leaving with a heavy sack of free brand-new books personally selected by me and donated by major publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. You can't beat that. So if you can get to Loysville, Pennsylvania next week on Thursday, please try to be there if you're a man in ministry leadership. If you want to register for free, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put luncheon in the subject line. The 3 days following that free pastor's luncheon, those same two speakers, Dr. Webster and Reverend King, will be conducting an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free conference at a different church. This will be Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, on Friday, April 14th, Saturday, April 15th, and Sunday, April 16th. The theme of this free 3-day conference is the gospel removed by Rome, rescued by the reformers, and rejected by modern evangelicals. If you'd like to register for that conference, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put conference in the subject line. And you could also include luncheon and conference if you're attending both, and give me the number of people that will be joining you at each event. So send that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Also, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful church, no matter where you live in the world, I have extensive lists spanning the globe and have helped many people in our audience find churches, sometimes even within a couple of minutes from where they live. So if you are spiritually homeless, you don't have a good, solid, Christ-honoring church where you are a member, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Andreas Kostenberger about the final days of Jesus. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And now we approach one of the most significant days in all of history, a day that is certainly an essential day for any sinner to be made right with God, the day that only Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man, the perfect sacrificial lamb, the spotless Passover lamb, only he could have died this propitiatory sacrificial death in order to appease the wrath of the Father and have our sins imputed to him while his sins are imputed to us. We are speaking of that day known as Good Friday, and if you could pick up there with additional significance of that mm-hmm. very holy day.
Absolutely, Chris. And, you know, I love the Gospel of John, and John is remarkable because he actually says that at the cross, Jesus was lifted up. And there's a wordplay involved here because, of course, he was physically lifted up, but he was also spiritually exalted because of his obedience to God. And so in the end, the crucifixion, the way John casts it and presents it, was the successful completion of Jesus' mission from the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so the famous cry, tetelestai in the Greek, it is finished, in John 19:30, is really a cry of triumph. Jesus persisted and was obedient and showed his love for people all the way to the cross. Now, what happened on what we call Good Friday is that after nightfall, Jesus is, after he prays at Gethsemane, is betrayed by Judas and is arrested. He is taken and brought to trial before the Jewish and the Roman authorities, first an informal hearing before Annas, the former high priest, and then a formal Sanhedrin hearing in the early morning hours of Good Friday. And then he's taken to Pilate, who is the Roman governor alone, had the power to impose the death sentence, capital punishment, on Jesus by crucifixion. And then Jesus is crucified, and later that afternoon, hurriedly buried in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb.
Praise God. And you are a fellow Reformed believer. Isn't there a very crucial distinction between our understanding of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Golgotha, that he paid in full, 100%, that was necessary to redeem his people from their sins and from hell. This was a finished and complete and perfectly accomplished mission. And those that he intended to save will certainly at some point be regenerated by him and will be added to his number. It seems to me that as well-intentioned as our brothers and sisters in Christ are who disagree with that, they unintentionally, unconsciously, truly diminish the power of what occurred on that cross. Am I making sense here?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, this is not even just a matter of Reformed theology. I think John himself teaches very clearly divine election and predestination and divine sovereignty. And he says things such as that no one can come to the Father unless the Father draws him. And he who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. And, similar statements. So I wrote a book, A Theology of John's Gospel and Letters, where I have a whole chapter on election and predestination and divine sovereignty and human responsibility. Actually, I've been accused by some to be a Calvinist based on that definition. So I told him, well, I just try to interpret scripture as fairly and as responsibly as I can.
And we move on now to a day that does have some of its own controversy. We have the Saturday prior to the resurrection of Jesus. And first, I'd like you to begin by talking about the significance of this day before I add to mm-hmm. your explanation the controversies that have arisen about that day.
Absolutely. So just like Wednesday, Saturday, you know, there's very little information in Scripture. We don't know what the disciples were doing that day. We assume they went into hiding out of fear of the authorities, being afraid that they might be next. Ironically, the only action we have, and I say ironically because it involved the Pharisees going to Pilate to ask him to secure Jesus' tomb. And it's ironic because obviously they didn't believe in doing any work on the Sabbath. And so here they walked over to Pilate's residence. And also they in some ways seem to take Jesus' prediction that he would arise on the third day seriously enough that they wanted to secure the tomb, at least so that the disciples couldn't steal the body and afterwards claim that Jesus had risen from the dead. So be that as it may, it seems Pilate agreed with this. And so as far as we know, there was a contingent of both Roman and Jewish security forces positioned and at the tomb. And of course, again, it played right into the hands of Christians, because that way nobody could legitimately claim that anybody stole the body, because the guards would certainly have stopped them from doing so.
Now, the area of controversy, well, there's probably more than the one that I'm thinking of, but I'm specifically referring to something that actually just came up recently in one of my interviews on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, where we hear or read in 1 Peter chapter 3, let's start with verse 18, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all time, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water." That very mysterious sounding a text about Jesus making a proclamation to the spirits in prison. Can you tell us your exegesis of that?
Yeah, that's a very appropriate, but clearly very difficult question. Christ's whereabouts on the Sabbath. I believe the reference there is to demonic spirits who were probably cohabitating with human females. Genesis 6 says as much. In the days of Noah, at the outset of the flood, and Jesus proclaimed his triumph over Satan, specifically to that group of demonic spirits, once it had been accomplished. So, you know, I realize there's other ways to interpret this, but in our book, The Cradle, the Cross, and the Crown, in the chapter in 1 Peter, we give a fairly detailed explanation of this, as well as I think there's at least four major views on this. So this is our view.
Wow, that's interesting, because the most predominant one I have heard is that is Jesus revealing to the Old Testament saints that he was the one that they were hoping and waiting for and unconsciously worshiping in the Old Covenant.
Yeah, I think the word spirits or spirits in prison in 1 Peter 3:19 is usually not referring to human spirits, but is typically to, you know, angelic or demonic beings. So that's one exegetical issue to navigate there.
Okay. And now we arrive. I'm so glad that we were able to fit all 8 days in this discussion. Now we arrive at Resurrection Sunday itself. You would think that there needs no further explanation, but tell us, tell us what you have in store for us in your book about that.
Absolutely. So Jesus died Friday afternoon, probably around 3 p.m. And of course, at sundown, the Jewish Sabbath began, on which no work must be done. And so you see that there was only a short window during which Jesus' body needed to be taken down from the cross, and it needed to be prepared for burial and then laid in that tomb before the sunset. And so that would explain why, after waiting, on the Sabbath, a group of women went to the tomb early Sunday morning to complete some of the unfinished business that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had not been able to accomplish because of the shortness of time before the Sabbath started. And as you know, Mary Magdalene approaches the tomb and already finds it empty. The stone had been rolled away. I always wonder how the women thought they would gain access to the tomb, because certainly they could not have rolled away that stone. So Mary reports to Peter and John that the tomb is empty, and they rush to the tomb and find that indeed it was. Angels appear to them. And then later, Jesus actually appears first to Mary Magdalene. She doesn't recognize him at first, thinks he's the gardener. Again, very ironic. Then later that day, he appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, which was just outside of Jerusalem. And then that same evening, still on Resurrection Sunday, Jesus appears to the 11, actually to the 10 apostles, of course, without Judas and also without Thomas. So we can see that Jesus had a very busy Resurrection Sunday, and we pretty much know what he did all day, because he appeared to numerous people that first Resurrection Sunday.
Now, the importance of the eyewitnesses to this, and also the importance of the truthfulness, or the evidence towards the truthfulness of the resurrection of Christ and the scriptures that describe it. There has been a saying, and it's been said in different ways, but you have a saying that while many people may die for a lie, very few, if any, would ever die for something they knew to be a lie. And you have eyewitnesses to this resurrection, some of whom were martyrs for the faith. And you even have, obviously, some of the more prominent disciples. In fact, all of Jesus's apostles were martyred, with the exception of John on the Isle of Patmos. And it would be totally a bizarre phenomenon if any of these people, especially a great number of them, were to know in their minds, yes, this is a lie. Jesus' friends are making this resurrection story up, but I'm willing to die for it anyway. People typically don't do that kind of a thing. You do have, as I said in the quote, you have people dying for lies. You have Muslims that fly into buildings and are on suicide missions and all kinds of things like that. And you may even just have members of false religions dying as they refuse to convert, or something of that nature. But these people don't know what they're doing is dying for a lie. So if you could discuss the importance of this eyewitness aspect.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with everything you just said. It's completely inconceivable, that virtually all the apostles would knowingly die for what they knew it was true, say if they had stolen the body and then claimed that Jesus had risen. I think in addition, what is really intriguing to me is that in John chapter 20, for example, none of the disciples actually really expected Jesus to rise. We see that, Mary, still when she already sees Jesus, suspects him to be the gardener, and she has this idea that somebody stole Jesus' body, and she tells Jesus, you know, if he knows where the body is, to give it to her so she can, perform proper services on it. Also John and Peter, first when they see the empty tomb, it says they still did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. You see multiple times in Scripture, people don't recognize Jesus for who he is. So clearly his body, his resurrected body had been transformed to the point that he could appear and disappear at will. He could walk through doors. He could do all kinds of things. Yes, I think there's a whole long list of arguments that the only really plausible explanation for the accounts of Jesus' resurrection is that it actually happened historically.
Yeah, that's a key point as well, because there are atheists who have throughout history and members of false religions who have said the whole thing is a fairy tale. It's all a myth, a legend, a fable. And yet today in the 21st century, I have been told, in fact, I was even told this by an atheist apologist when I years ago asked him, I challenged him to debate my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries on the historicity of Jesus Christ. Was Jesus a true person from history, or was he the product of pagan fables and so on, as many have said over the centuries that he is nothing more than a different version of a pagan story. This atheist said to me, well, no atheist worth his salt believes that anymore. They believe Jesus was a real person who walked the earth. They just don't believe he was God. So there is historic evidence from eyewitnesses to Christians who they themselves were not Christians, and yet they wrote about the fact that at least those who died for their allegiance to Christ believed he was resurrected. Even if these historians who have written about this, who were contemporaries of the apostles in the first century and years subsequent to that, they knew that this was a reality, even if they didn't believe the resurrection itself was something that happened. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think both Jewish historians and Roman historians attest certainly to the fact that that Jesus existed. I think the most famous are on the Jewish side, the historian Josephus, who was born in 37 AD and who died in 100 AD, and who wrote well-known works, The Antiquities of the Jews and the Jewish War. He has the famous Testimonium Flavianum, where he mentions Jesus, at some length. And on the Greco-Roman side, you have well-known historians such as Tiberius in his Annals, and also Suetonius in his History, talking about Jesus being crucified under the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, so forth. So I think there's sufficient evidence that even a diehard skeptic and agnostic like Bart Ehrman, who is the chairman of the religion department at UNC, wrote a book defending the historicity of Jesus.
Yes, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with Bart Ehrman, he was a professing evangelical who was even viewed by his mentor, Dr. Metzger, as a as a rising star in the evangelical faith, and he renounced his faith and became an agnostic. I believe he is an agnostic and not an atheist. I could be wrong about that. But the thing that's interesting about Bart Ehrman is, if you didn't know his background, sometimes when you're watching him, let's say on a major cable network who is having a documentary that some of these networks have during this time of year and during Christmas especially, where they will have historians and scholars give their thoughts on the life of Jesus. And Bart Ehrman will be on there sometimes amongst a variety of different people, some that might be even Christian themselves. And you don't know necessarily that Bart Ehrman is an unbeliever, because he's speaking of Jesus as somebody who is a true figure from history.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We actually wrote two books, Daryl Bach from Dallas Seminary and Josh Shatro and I, Truth Matters, and also Truth in a Culture of Doubt, for any listeners who are interested in conservative believing responses to some of Bart Ehrman's hardened skeptical arguments against the Christian faith, the Bible, Jesus, deity, and so forth.
We have to go to our final break right now, and when we return, we're going to listen to or hear a question from Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, who's one of our most faithful and loyal listeners and supporters as well. And if you have a question that you would like to ask and get in line behind Grady, now is the time to do it, because we are rapidly running out of time. Send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We will be right back with Dr. Andreas Kostenberger and the final days of Jesus right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hello. Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel. and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
At thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
And I just heard the wonderful news today that the Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia has renewed its annual advertising contract with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thank you so much, Dr. Joe Moorcraft and Tim Renshaw, one of the elders at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, for thinking so highly of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio that you share some of the wealth with which God has blessed you. I will never forget you and will never be able to adequately repay you with my efforts of giving my thanks to you. And I look forward to another year of promoting your fine church and your fine pastor, Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If anybody wants more details on that church, go to heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. We're now back with Andreas Kostenberger, and we are discussing the final days of Jesus. We have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, who asks, greetings, brothers. Over 35 years ago, the triune God drew me to himself and by grace through faith saved me from his wrath. I'm still amazed and astonished at his plan to save us as unworthy as we are. As the hymn writer said, hallelujah, what a savior. The only way our Heavenly Father can get all the glory for our salvation is that he did it all. Why do you think some Christians believe it was their decision, especially when Ephesians 2 says we're dead in our trespasses?
Well, because they are misinformed, or they have not cared to search the scriptures for themselves, but have listened to perhaps those who misinterpret scripture. But clearly, the biblical gospel is justification by faith alone, through Christ, grace alone, in Christ alone. I actually find it very interesting that the listener is quoting Ephesians 2, because I was going to, in conclusion here, quote Ephesians 1, if I may, verses 19 yes. and 20, which is one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. And I think it shows that that very same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now at work in those of us who believe. That's what Paul writes in Ephesians 1:19. He prays that believers understand what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. I just can't think of anything more encouraging than for us to consider that the Spirit did not merely raise Christ from the dead, but that same Spirit is now at work in those of us who believe.
Amen. Well, Grady, you have won the final copy that we have available of The Final Days of Jesus, the most important week of the most important person who ever lived. Compliments of our friends at Crossway, and also compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, who will actually be the ones shipping that book out to you at no charge to you or to us. I would like you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners right now, Andreas.
Thank you so much, Chris. First of all, thanks for having me on. This has been a wonderful, well-moderated 2 hours of walking with Jesus through the last week of his earthly life. And of course, we know he's exalted with God in heaven right now. He's preparing a place for us, and then he will return to take us home to be with him. I just wanted to inform our listeners of just two things. One is there's actually a prequel to The Final Days of Jesus. The first Days of Jesus, which is all about why we celebrate Christmas, and the first Christmas is only 8 short months away. And also, there is ample resources available on the final days of Jesus on our website, biblicalfoundations.org. You can go there and you can simply type in final days or Easter, and you will see interviews, you will see articles, you will see videos on each of the days of Jesus' final week. So I wish our listeners a very meaningful celebration of Christ's crucifixion, and especially his resurrection.
Amen. And if you want to visit Dr. Andreas Kostenberger's website, it's biblicalfoundations.org. Thank you so much for being such a magnificent guest once again. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.